Welcome and thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Digital Digest. You know, it's your girl Ace. With us today, we have Quebina. He is a former independent record label owner here from Washington, D.C., currently a restaurant owner and all around hustler. Quebina, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking time out. I know you're over at the Pizza Shop. Thank you for taking time out to join the podcast. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thank you for having me. My name is Quebina Nkrumah. I'm born and raised in Uptown Washington, D.C. Everybody knows me as Quab for short. I'm an eclectic person. I have a few different titles. I'm a Muslim first and foremost. I'm a college grad. I'm a husband and a father. I'm also an ex-felon or returning citizen is the new term these days. So I have quite a few things under my belt as you would look at as my resume, I guess you would say.
Awesome. And thank you for sharing with us, you know, and being so transparent. You know, that's what we're all about here on our podcast, showing that, you know, at any phase of your journey that you could, you know, turn to entrepreneurship, artistry, or your pure creativity, you know, to make money, add additional income, you know, or just turn your life around completely. So thank you for sharing that with our audience. One of the main reasons why we had you on, of course, because you recently started a new venture over in the Brooklyn, D.C. area. So you want to let us know what you guys are doing over at Today's Pizza and how the community can support, starting with your new hiring program?
Yes. So as of December 3rd, a partner and myself, my partner's name is Akil Baker, we purchased or acquired Today's Pizza. It's at 3928 12th Street Northeast. We have just been, you know, getting acclimated to the business, you know, trying to right the wrongs of the previous owners. So at this point now, we're just in the process of trying to staff our business and add some, you know, some people who would become employees, but we want our business to be like a family, you know, where we love what we do and everyone there is contributing to us becoming, you know, a big company where we have a great following and a good business reputation with great food.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, that definitely starts with community. So I mentioned in a recent Facebook post, if you guys are following me on Facebook, that every Wednesday starting March 2nd until May 11th, you'll have a chance to interview on the spot over at Today's Pizza. All you have to do to qualify is to email your resume to admin@uppercrustdc.com for a chance to qualify. And in a subject line, you want to add your name, the date that you intend on interviewing, and, you know, show up on that day between the hours of 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. It's on a spot open interview, so show your initiative. So with that being said, what's the best advice you've ever received as an entrepreneur?
The best advice I ever received as an entrepreneur is, make people pay you what you're worth, not what they're willing to give you.
And, you know, what was it, an incident where, you know, you had to kind of stand your ground to get what you felt you were worth?
That was a gem that I actually got from my days in the street. You know, when I used to be in the streets doing what I was doing, you know, in my prior lifestyle. One of my OGs, you know, he told me that one day when you know, when I first really started out, and some of the people was, you know, trying to like take advantage of me because I was green, you know, mm-hmm. and I was just learning the ropes, and he gave me that gem right there, like, you know, you gotta make the people pay you what you're worth. You can't just allow them to tell you what they want to give you, you know, because yeah. if you allow them to, people gonna tell you, look, I want to pay this, and you know, if you're not gonna stand upon what your price is, you'll be taking anything. You know, people to come to you be like, it's $10. They tell you, I got $5.50 and $6, and you know, all those types of things.
I mean, that's true, but do you believe that still exists in the open, free enterprise where everybody's kind of pulling up, coming to the table, showing, you know, what part they can contribute to community style projects, especially when you talk about, you know, open space type of projects where you have multiple business operating out of one space in order to uplift the space itself, or even in the meta space where you have people with different skill sets or tool sets coming together to build something that's bigger. So do you feel that model still works within, you know, building among your peers, or is that the model, or is this the mindset that you take when you're dealing with corporate?
I mean, with whatever it is, I mean, in any space, I would take that same mindset, because, like I stated, you know, people will, you know, say, well, I, you know, when you tell them, like, this is what it costs, a lot of people will say, well, oh, that's too much. I don't want to pay that. Or I know somebody who got it for this, or I can buy it here for this price, or I can get this service from these people for this price. Like, you always come across that,
right.
In life in general, people will always, you know, try to tell you where they can get it at for less.
Right. Everybody is qualified to do business with you.
Right.
So that being said, have you experienced that in the restaurant industry? Like, has that been something that you've taken with you through, you know, different skill sets or different milestones in your entrepreneurial journey? Is this something that you face in the restaurant industry where you had to kind of push harder for something that you knew you deserved?
Oh, yes, indeed. Definitely. I just had a situation just last night where a guy came in. We sell these juices, Big Daddy Juice, which are locally made, fresh pressed organic sea moss drinks.
Awesome.
And a guy came in last night and he's like, "Yeah, y'all got the juices." I'm like, "Yeah, okay." He was like, "How much?" And we sell them for $9. But mm-hmm. I mean, you may find them in a couple of other places for a little cheaper, but the only place that I know particularly that carries them is Glut, and they close early. So after that time, you know, our price is what it is. So the guy was like, "Oh, I know the guy who makes some this blah 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 whatever whatever," and I'm like, he's like, "Well, man, that's too much." So then when I rung it up and the tax came up, he was like, "Nah," he was like, $10. He was like, "Man, it's too much." Da, 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 da. And I'm like, "Bro, like, I understand that you know him, but I know for a fact that this time of night you can't get in contact with him.
Right.
There's nowhere else you can get it from. So if you want this, it's what you gotta pay for tonight. Or you can wait till tomorrow when he comes out during the day and maybe you can catch up with him and buy it from him directly, you know?"
Right. And that makes sense, you know, especially going with the analogy, because, you know, anything else, you wouldn't go in any of the, you know, other stores in any other multicultural area, any other neighbor section of the city, and try to, you know, talk people down off their price. You certainly don't go in the carryout talking to Chinese people down off their price, or, you know, any other, you know, when you patronizing any other culture in the city. And, you know, this is something that there's no secret in the Black community, something that, you know, has been talked about on social for years. So the fact that you're able to actually show real life, like, no, this is not just memes circulating, like, this is how people really act, you know? So what would you say to other millennials or other Gen Zers, Gen Xers, that may be interested in, you know, getting into the restaurant business? What is something that you should consider beforehand?
First and foremost, that it is not for the faint of heart.
It is a very, very, what's the word I want to use?
Can you hear me? Because it went out. Hello, hello. Thank you again for joining. In the first segment, we mentioned that today's pizza is hiring. If you're interested in an additional gig, additional income, send your resume to admin@uppercrustdc.com. Quab, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. So I was just asking you, what is your recipe for greatness, or what is your recommendation for peers or the generation behind us that may be thinking about getting into a restaurant industry, more in particular, maybe hosting a pizza shop like you?
Oh yeah, so about, yeah, as I was stating, you know, like I said, it's not as easy as it may look from the outside. You know, that's something that, you know, we are learning as we embark upon this journey. 2.5 months in, that it is nowhere near as easy as it looks. Just for an example, with our pizza shop, it was being run basically by one person, but he has been 20 years of experience of running this shop, so he knew what he was doing. But us coming in as rookies, we didn't have any idea, and we still struggle with 2 to 3 people in the kitchen sometimes with the same amount of volume at the pace that he was doing it.
Wow! So he was running a whole pizza shop by himself.
Yes.
How? But like I
said, he had 20 years of experience in doing it, and it's been business for 20 years. He ran it with his father and his brothers. I mean, he had help. His brother may come in, I guess, to help him at times, but like, he really was basically holding it by himself. And like, after seeing it and getting involved in it and doing it, I came to the conclusion that he's a machine.
we definitely got to get him on the pod, because, you know, one man pizza show. Yeah, we definitely got to get the scoop on that. So how's it been for you so far? Like, what's the biggest challenge been, or what's the biggest on-job training or, you know, learning on a spot, you know, thing been for you?
It's been on the job training and a lot of learning on the spot. You know, like I've made pieces in the house from scratch before and things like that, but it's just the speed and the pace and the speed of, you know, because it's basically we have a fast food restaurant, you know, for the most part, and we sell pizza, pasta, salad, subs. You know what I'm saying? And we may have sometimes large orders with 40 or 50 pieces that we have to do beside our lunch rush and our dinner rush. So, you know, it's just, you know, pacing yourself.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it's pacing and staff, you know, like those are the two biggest lessons I've learned so far. And then on the other end, I've learned that, you know, the marketing and promotion aspect is very huge as far as business, you know, to acquire business, new business, etc. Because, you know, like it's been extremely slow, so we need to bring in some new business. We need to touch the people who don't know, you know, to let the people know that we are now a Black owned pizza shop that, you know, we service. We basically a black-owned Italian restaurant to an extent, you know, because like I said, we have pasta, pizza, subs. You know, we have the whole gamut. We got a manicotti and stuffed shells and these types of things.
Oh, you guys have manicotti?
Yes, we do.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So you know, like, we have to really, like, push that. Like, we're selling Italian food from a black perspective. That's something that you're not going to really find any else in the city. So
right. Definitely not too many black-owned pizza shops in the city, you know, alone, let alone black-owned Italian restaurants. So I definitely... And it definitely, you know, makes so much sense because when you think of, you know, some of the other pizza shops in the area, you know, they all sell pizza, chicken, and salads. But, you know, to get down and sell the different pasta dishes like the manicotti. And do you guys offer catering for, like, business for, like, offices, or do you just stick to, you know, universities and, you know, organizations?
I mean, we're open to catering to anyone who, you know, who's looking for catering. We're definitely open to that, you know, just with enough of an advance notice, you know. I mean, pieces, we can get them done in a few hours. But outside of that, like, you know, just with a little advance notice, we definitely are willing to take on any catering jobs.
Okay, so football parties, prom parties, wedding parties. You want to bring something extra special to, you know, your cookout or, you know, a kickback, then, you know, definitely visit todayspizzadc.com and check out their catering and special offers menu. So outside of the pizza shop, you know, as an entrepreneur in general, what's your take on entrepreneurship in the DMV or in DC?
Well, you know, I always tell people that DC is a city that was set up by black people for black people. And there's so many opportunities, there's so many programs that are open for us that we should take full advantage of. You know, I was just featured in a Washington Post twice last year because I just completed a program called Aspire through the DSLBD. Department of Smaller Local Business Development Center that is located in Southeast for returning citizens, where they give you entrepreneurship training in a 12-week program, and when you complete the program, they have at the end of the program they have a pitch contest similar to Shark Tank. And there are cash prizes, which are grants that are given at the end, between $2,000 up to $10,000. You're guaranteed at least $2,000, but up to $10,000. And I was actually one of the grand prize winners out of my cohort. Out of my cohort of about 30 participants, there were five of us that were chosen as grand prize winners, and I was one of the grand prize winners. In the program. So, you know, this is just one of the many programs. Thank you very much. So you know, I was featured in the Washington Post twice because of this program. And, you know, this is just self-promotion and also some promotion for my business as well. I also sell cars in one of my businesses that I aspire to. That I originally had went through the program for was I want to open a car lot slash car customization place, kind of similar to like West Coast Customs in California.
Okay.
This program, this is like I said, this program, there are so many programs and so many grants and you know, different things that are available to DC residents particularly.
Right.
So, you know, if you had any aspirations in becoming an entrepreneur in Washington, DC, you should really look into the DSLBD, that's the Department of Small Local Business Development, because they have a lot of resources for for people who are entrepreneurs or trying to get into entrepreneurship, especially, like I said, the program Aspire, that's for the returning citizens, you know, people who are in my pro, my, who are, who, you know, come from my walk of life that went through the trials and tribulations of...
That took the scenic route.
Right, exactly. and went through the trials and tribulations of prison, the criminal justice system, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of programs that are available inside of D.C., and that's why I live in the city. I refuse to move, and I love it here because you can really get so much if you just know what you're doing.
People, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to stay in them buildings. You know, you got to stay. One thing about D.C., you can get things done, but you got to come out the house. Like where I live now, I'm in PG County, and I'm more so behind the screens. But I know when I was growing up, coming up uptown, all you have to do is come out the house, walk around, move around. Like D.C. is, like you said, is for Black people, built by Black people. So, you know, the networking there, especially when you're about something, is just so much, you know, so much more simple or so much more easy. When you're bringing something to the table, when you bring in value to the community. So with that being said, I was taking a look at your website and I was trying to figure out, you know, how sometimes you have pizza fundraisers for the different area charter schools and public schools organizations typically set up fundraisers through different shops and stuff like that. So if I wanted to set up a fundraiser through your shop, how would I do that?
You could reach out to us directly through email. That admin at uppercrustdc.com email, reach out to us directly, and you know we'll be more than glad to set something up. We're working on it right now.
Awesome. And also, a lot of people may not know, we didn't really touch on it today, but your family also owns Flavor of Restaurant over on T Street near the Howard Theater. You want to give a shout out to the crew over there at Flavor and tell a little bit about what people can expect if they pop into Flavor?
Well, I mean, you know, we did run Flavor for 5 years, but we've been closed since 2016 due to gentrification. The owners of the building sold the building and unbeknownst to us, we found out from someone else and we had to leave, and they remodeled the business and the building, the remodeled it, built an apartment building. I mean, you know, mixed use, what they're doing all over the city. And right now the space is vacant. There's nothing there.
I didn't know that.
It would be great to get back in there, but alcohol and people is a whole different animal, and yeah. I'm not really looking forward to dealing with that part, because I'm telling you, like, that whole bar scene, like, if you've ever seen what's the movie with Patrick Swayze? I forget what's the movie. He was a cooler. He worked in the bar, but he was like a bouncer. Mm-hmm. Like that. Being, you know, with my background and my size, I just automatically end up being security. Even though I had security, I still had to help them out at times. And yeah. I never fought so much since I was like a little kid. Like it was too much.
Said,
it was too much. Like that, the physical altercations were too many and too often for me.
Yeah.
I'm a peace loving person. I don't care to have all of that, you know, all of that drama. So, you know, it was fun, and I missed the experiences. There were so many experiences, so many people that came through and graced our establishment, from to Taraji P. Henson, to Free Marie Wright from 106 and Park, to different like rappers like Fiend and Currency, and we had even one time where he never stepped inside, but Questlove, he used to order food from us whenever he was at the Howard Theater.
Yeah, you got to get that building back. That would be, you know, you got to come back and buy the building. If they stole a building, you got to come back and buy the building. It was the uptown way.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I gotta get my bag up so I can get in there.
Well, let's get to it.
No question. I'm on top of it.
All right. Well, that's all our time for now. Any parting messages or any closing remarks for our listeners? Where can they follow you on social?
Well, I want to tell people that no matter what you go through in life, no matter, you know, what things make you what bumps you may come into along the road, you got to keep pushing. Like that's you know, you can't allow these things to make you give up. You can't give up. You got to just go harder, because I'm living proof of that. Like I've been through so many adversities in my life, and here I am today. I own a pizza shop. I'm still a little in disbelief myself about that. You can follow me at Instagram. My Instagram is 99grams.upt, my personal Instagram. I also have an Instagram for my car business, which is TJ Motors DC. I have the Instagram for Today's Pizza, which is Today's Pizza DC. I'm also on Facebook. My name, Kwabena Nkrumah. That's spelled K-W-A, B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, A. The last name is N as in Nancy, K-R-U, M as in Mary, A-H. I'm also on Facebook for my business, my car business, and the Today's Pizza, Today's Pizza Facebook is soon to follow. But my car business is TJ Motors DC as well on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, please follow me. Please, you know, show me some support. I really need it. I'm one of you guys. I come from the mud. I came from the mud, and I'm fighting my way trying to get to the top, and I'm trying to pull everybody with me, because that's how I am. I've always been. If you know me, you know that. Like I look out for people. I'm not a selfish person, never have been.
That's the Uptown way. You heard it here first. We can't wait to, you know, follow your developments and follow your stories. Especially, we didn't even get into the car business today, so you got to come back and drop knowledge on us. You know, the best and fastest way, simplest way to, you know, buy a quick car if you're looking for some quick wheels, or how to get into business if, you know, you're looking to make money in the business. Does that sound like something you do?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm full support anytime. Just let me know.
All right, cool. And guys, look for this episode in our library and our Digital Digest Cafe. And it should be up very soon. Thank you so much for stopping by, Kwab. I really appreciate you sharing your insight and your transparency, you know, with no cut cards. So that's what we're all about here, growing our community. You know, each one teach one, each one lead one. You know, we are living in a peer-to-peer world. So anytime we get guests that's willing to come on, share, you know, where they've been and where they are in their journey is so inspiring, especially for the newer generation of entrepreneurs, you know, that may be going through things and feeling like they've made decisions or made mistakes that may, you know, kind of thrown their hands. So it just goes to show you can come back from anything.
No doubt.
All right. That's all our time. Till next time. Peace.